This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Praise God. Can Diane remind us of that? Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 18. Most of the time when we're teaching on Sunday morning, for those of us who've been coming for a while, we're not telling you anything new, but it's worth reminding and just noticing again that in the writings of both Paul and Peter in the New Testament, they each said, I have no problem reminding you of the things that you've already heard, because we don't get it in one shot. And you know, not Wall Street, but Madison Avenue is the one with the advertising, and they have figured out, if they keep repeating and repeating and repeating, you know, we'll, after a while, it'll get into us, and it'll become part of us. Diane and I were, riding somewhere or something, and we started thinking of the commercials from way back when, that we could sing the whole jingle to the thing, and sing the jingle to the or the thing to the beginning of a show, you know, like Gilligan's Island or something like that. Go through the whole thing, because we heard it so many times that it becomes part of you. So I want to remind you about words this morning, and I'm entitling it self-talk, because if I say confession, you'll say, "Oh, not that again." So we'll call it something else. But the words that we speak are important. When we started, you know, Diane and I grew up in church, and I went to Northeast Bible Institute, and then later went to Rhema. And when we were beginning to understand what faith was all about, one of the first principles that was added to us was this bit about our tongue and the things that we say. When that starts becoming important to you, probably you're going to realize you're talking a lot of negative talk. And I've said before, the first thing that I know I had to do is learn to shut up, because you start to, and then you think, well, I don't want to say that, and you start to, I can't say that. So you don't have much to say, because it's hard to just go negative to positive. We just you have to tell yourself, shut up. And I have said that to myself, shut up, Wayne. You know, because you don't want to get words out there and then try to take them back in. Somebody said that once the word's out, it's like toothpaste out of the tube. You try to get it back in now again, you know. They have results to them. And praise God, you know, we can change those things, and thank God that we don't have to pay the price for every word that we've spoken that was in the wrong direction, because there's forgiveness in God. Amen? Amen? Aren't you glad? Praise God. I mean, think about the negative ways we've talked about ourselves. But as we sit here this morning and as we go on from here, we need to consider that our words are having an effect in our life. You know, somebody will say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it really doesn't matter, because they're going to have an effect in your life. Whether you believe it or not, they're still going to have an effect in your life. I was reading, and the author made this statement. Tell me who you are apart from what you do. Tell me who you are apart from what you do. Think about that. Somebody said, who are you? A lot of times we'll say, well, I'm a carpenter, or I'm a truck driver, or I'm a whatever, and that's what we do, and that's not important, but really what our words get down to is, who are you? Amen? So, and you know, when you're around someone a very short time, you know whether they're a negative person or a positive person by what they say. They're the words that come out of them. In fact, it's been said, and I think you'd recognize too, the words almost seem to hang in the air. You know, you can come into a room where there was arguments, and having not even been there when the argument was going on, but there's an atmosphere in the room that's there because of those words that were said. And then you think about the different homes that you visit, and you go into some homes and there's peace right away. And a lot of that is because there are peaceful words that are spoken on a regular basis. You know, we get these little plaques that we put on the wall, God bless this home, all these kind of things, but the plaque on the wall doesn't really change an awful lot. It's the words that are spoken. And you know, you can, when somebody comes in to visit, you can smile and try to be nice and everything, but there's an atmosphere that comes from those words. There's an atmosphere in a church. Amen. You can go into a church and it might be very austere, and you feel like you got to take your shoes off and make sure you don't sit on anybody else's seat, and you know, all those kind of things. I heard John Maxwell said was pastoring a huge church in San Diego area, and he said one of the people came up to him after a service and said, one of the visitors came in, a couple of visitors came in today and sat in our seat. I said, really? So he said, well, let's go take a look. So he said, where do you usually sit? And so they went and they showed him the seats, and so he got down on his knees and he's looking around, and they said, what are you looking for? I want to see what your name is on this seat. Apparently it belongs to you, but I don't see your name anywhere. You know, we cop an attitude a lot of times when it comes to church, one way or the other. You know, go too much the other way and I have no respect for the things of God. There's a balance in between there somewhere, and it comes out not only in the way that we act, but also in the way that we speak. In fact, a lot of times we have to change the way that we speak in order to help change the way that we act. Now, you probably found Proverbs chapter 18 by now, verse 20 and 21. In fact, when you read the book of Proverbs, I'll remind you again, if you don't believe it's important what you say, you may not want to read the book of Proverbs, because there's an awful lot said in there about what we say. And here's the amplified version of Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. With the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. I don't know how it can be any more straightforward than that. And I notice when I read that, it's death and life. We learn, unfortunately, life has taught us, living has taught us to speak death, and we have to stop speaking death and begin to speak life. There's a wonderful scripture that one of the prophets in the Old Testament wrote, I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. You know, if you find yourself in a situation where the doctor says you aren't going to make it, you can say, I shall not die, I shall live, declare the works of the Lord. I think it's valuable to, when we're talking about physical things, to find out what we're dealing with so we have a name to speak. You know, the doctor says you've got this, and hopefully you and your doctor are on the same page where you want to get rid of it and he wants to get rid of it, and so you're working towards the same goal. But when it comes down to all that, we need to come away from that and not. See, here's what can happen. You go to the doctor and he says you've got, ta-da, I'm going to just call it ta-da, okay. And so you walk away and all your confession begins to become around, all your self-talk becomes ta-da. How you doing today? I have ta-da. Does it be? It becomes everything that we talk about, isn't that right? I mean, growing up, found out early on about the family disease. And I've, like I've said before, I was very introverted and didn't have much sense of a value in myself. And all of a sudden, I noticed that people would pay attention when you start talking about this rare disease. The only case of it in the United States, maybe only one other one in the world. And all, you know, rattle on. And I had it all laid out. And you see somebody not really interested in what you have to say, and then you start talking about it. Wow, really? Okay. And so that becomes your identification. And you talk about that all the time. It doesn't have to be sickness or disease. It becomes sometimes poverty. Ah, you owe a lot of money. Well, let me tell you about the money that I owe. You think you're behind. You think your credit card bills are big. Let me tell you about my credit card bills. And it almost becomes a contest, verbally, for attention by words, but we're identifying in an area that we don't want to be. You know, you're out there talking with people like that, and then you sit down to try to write the checks for the bills and find out you don't have enough money. Surprise! Because that's what we've been talking about, and we keep ourselves in the place where we don't want to be. With the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil, whether death or life. So I can't make you change your words, but I can work on mine. Praise God. So that's what we want to remind ourselves of. And I want us to, because I obviously you see I try to get an organized thought when we bring this together and break it down into these three categories. Our self-talk should be personal, it should be positive, and it should be present tense. Notice they even start with P. Just for Bob I did that because I know he liked that. All laid out that way. And it needs to be personal, positive, and present tense. So let's talk about each one of these quick, and then you should have, and if you got your bulletin, you should have a self-talk list that we're going to go over as we have time. If you haven't gotten that, I think the ushers have some more. So, number one, personal. Look at Mark 11:23. Let's go to Mark 11. Gospel of Mark, second book in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 23. You come there and you'll see it right away because it's underlined, highlighted, hopefully. Jesus speaking, teaching on faith. And he says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever," how many whoever's do we have this morning? All right, we qualify. "Whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." One of the things that we need to remind ourselves of is it's not talking about what God says. It's talking about what we say. He's going to have what he says. I'm going to have what I say. So it needs to be personal then. When I'm saying it, it needs to be not about everybody else. It needs to be about me. And it needs to be, you know, sometimes a confession about Christians in general is good, but when we're talking about self-talk of changing our heart, which is really what we're after, persuading our heart, we're talking about making it personal. I am a child of God. And a lot of times if you stand next to Diane, she throws you off when we're singing because she changes the words to the songs because she's not going to sing "we" when she wants to sing "I." And I go, you know, you get the wrong word out there standing next to her. But I understand what she's doing. It needs to be, and when we're worshiping, it needs to be singing to God. I, personal, am worshiping you and recognizing that's what about. If we're just singing about God, there are songs about God which are good because they help us to remember some things. But when we're worshiping, who are we worshiping? God? So we should be singing to him. That's another subject for another time. But personal. I am this. One of the books I was reading said this way. We must create a sense of me when meditating and confessing God's word. A sense of me. Because this is what we're trying to get to. This is what we're trying to get ourselves to think different. We're trying to get ourselves to believe different. We're trying to get a heart level changed, and so we need to get that sense of me, just me and God, just this is who God says I am, focused on myself. In this case, it's a good thing. It's not a selfish thing to do it that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've got to keep coming back to that, because really, when it comes down to a lot of the negative stuff that we converse to ourself about was I'm broke, I'm sick, I'm whatever. And so we need to change that and get that focused on the other way around. The Bible, New Testament particularly, there's two or three times it says, take heed to yourself. And so that's what we're doing when we change the words and make them personal to me. Amen? Now, and if you haven't ever worked on this at all, it's going to take some labor. It's going to take some focus. because we get used to this the way I talk. Some people are going to just say, I'm going to say what I want to say, and you can. And you know, I don't believe that. Well, don't believe it then. But it's still, the principles are going to work. In fact, the principles work for people that aren't saved. Principles, godly principles work. Child of God, not child of God, whatever color our skin, what, they just work. But they also work to the negative. There's, if you do this, you're going to end up there. It's still true. Even though God loves us, nothing can separate us from his love, he's still, the principles are still going to work the way the principles work. You go up high and you step off, gravity's going to work. You can say, I don't believe in gravity all the way down, but you're going to go down and you're going to stop suddenly at the bottom. All right, so that was personal. Number two, positive. Hebrews chapter 10. Our self-talk should be positive. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Anybody find that? Towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Here's how Strong's defines the word confidence. Free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, assurance. It actually has to do with speaking. Speaking freely, speaking positively, speaking with assurance. And this is the way we need to be. This is not where we want to be a hoping and a praying. This is where God said this, and this is true. And you know, I understand too that because it's a process. A lot of times, we don't start out a lot of times feeling real confident. But if we stay at it and change, stop speaking the negative stuff, and the self-talk begins based upon God's word, and we're focused on ourself, and we make it positive, then we begin to, after a while, feel positive. It's almost like the inward man start. Here's you saying this. I mean, it's one thing for you out there to say it, but it's one when I say it. And it's almost, you know, like an inner voice. You know, if you hold your ears, but you speak, you can hear yourself. Kind of, it feels like it's on the inside. So you're speaking, and after a while, it's like, wow, we must believe that, because that's what you're doing. You're convincing yourself. You're persuading. The basis of the word faith is to persuade. So we're persuading ourselves that it's true, because you've had a Bill. He was just talking the other day about gathering evidence again. You know, got to get evidence to the positive. So you're helping yourself gather evidence by what you say. Or let me put it this way: you're building up evidence either way. Are you building up the right kind of evidence when it comes down to it? Because you know, when you're dealing with sickness and disease, you have the pain, you have the symptoms, you have what the doctor said, you got all these, you got the commercials on TV, you got if you take this pill, you're probably going to have all these things and at the end die, but you probably want to take it anyway. You know, you got all that working against you, and then, so then on the positive side, but God said, I'm healed. Jesus already took this sickness and disease for me and died with it and then rose from the dead, so that I can have healing and health and life. So you have to gather yourself evidence in that direction. Amen? To influence the heart, all affirmation and meditation has to be positive. It isn't, we can't afford to come from the negative side. We come from the positive side. This is the way some of the, again, in the book I was reading, it's not going at it this way. Let's say you're trying to lose weight. I had the privilege this recently. The doctor told me you need to gain some weight. I like hearing that. Never happened before. Praise God. Put some more weight on. Okay. If you think I must. So if you're trying to lose weight, it doesn't work as well to say I'm not going to eat as much today, as it would be to say, I'm easily satisfied. I desire nutritious food. I'm sorry, but I can't say I desire Brussels sprouts. I just haven't come that far yet, but I desire the right kind of food. Instead of saying I don't, I do. I, positive, do, or I personal, do, positive, and bring yourself in the right direction. Remember there was a, you might remember there was a commercial, man, it's been years ago now, it must have been for cough medicine or something like that, and the person's saying, I will not cough. I won't cough. I will not cough. You know, because it's something about focusing on the negative tends to bring you over to the negative. It's like saying, I won't think about elephants. No, let's go to elephants. the elephant in the room. Well, whatever we say, I'm not going to think about that. That's what we think about. So we focus over on the positive. It's not so much I won't be sick. It's that I am healed. Understand what I'm saying? It needs to be personal. It needs to be positive. You see, the thing is, the reason we need to remind ourselves of this is because we don't feel positive all the time. And if we went by how if you're just going to talk by how you feel, you know, you're going to hurt yourself. It's like we tell the little kids, don't touch the stove, it'll burn you. I'm saying, and we need to remind ourselves, if you just talk how you feel, you're going to put yourself in a bad place and keep yourself in a bad place. Poor old me. It's not that pain isn't real. It's not that problems aren't real. It's not pretending that they're not real. It's saying, I'm going to change this because this situation is going to change because I'm going to be who God wants me to be. I'm going to talk to myself and about myself the way God wants me to talk. Number three is present tense. It needs to be present tense, not in the future. Hebrews 11:1 says, say it with me, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. Faith is not, it is based upon what's already done, been done, but it's not what's going to happen, it's what has happened, and faith believes it now, and faith speaks it is done now. We would like to say, I'm going to be feeling better, which probably is somewhat more positive than we've been a lot of times, but we need to say, I am better. I am healed. We move in the right direction. It's not about what God is going to do in the future. It's about what he's already done and what I'm experiencing now. What I want to do is, I want to experience the pain going away now. I want to experience the finances coming in now. I want to, praise God, heaven's coming someday, but we're supposed to be blessed in this life. It's the goodness of God that leads us to changing our mind about where it depends. Amen? And I want to experience the goodness of God. And then when I'm experiencing it, it makes it easier for me to take that experience to other people and say, see, God's good. Takes good care of me. Praise God. So we need to be thinking about it and speaking about it that way. It's not, someday I'll catch up on all my bills and I'll be wealthy. No, I am wealthy. I am rich. I am well taken care of. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I don't lack now. When it all belongs to me. If you've been born in a rich family, whether you had the finances on you right then or not wouldn't make much difference because it's yours. You can go in the refrigerator anytime you want and get what you want. Get what you need. Amen? Praise God. I am successful and prosperous and healed and blessed and delivered. I do have peace. Again, we tend to feel and therefore say, and a lot of times we keep ourselves where we don't want to be. We really don't want to be there, but we keep ourselves there by what we're saying. Joel, just the end of the verse in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, says, let the weak say, I am. See, it's a biblical principle. But I feel weak. Yeah, but you're supposed to say, I'm strong. And you're saying it, you may be saying it the first time thinking, yeah, I sure don't feel very strong. But you're hearing yourself say it, you're focusing on it. And now there's a principle that begins here where you need to experience it. You need to get your emotions tied into it too. Well, I've been feeling weak, but I'm going to say I'm strong, and I'm going to, what does it feel like to be strong? What would strong feel like? And you begin to get your emotions and everything tied up into it, and then it begins to affect you more than just changing your thoughts. It begins to change your heart. Do you understand the difference? I think this is where we missed it in the past. Is there a magic wand going off somewhere or something? I'm hearing this extra music. Okay. Can you time it with my message? Okay. So I think this is where we were missing it a lot of times in the past. We recognize we need to say the right things, stop saying the wrong things. So we're saying them, but we were just dealing on a mental level. In order to go deeper than a mental level, we got to experience it. So by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. So what I need to do, and this is where I'm laboring at the moment, is, well, what would that feel like? What would it be like to be up walking? What would it be like to have the full use of my hand to experience the joy of that? Because I've experienced the other side of it, and it's no fun. What would it be like to have all the bills paid and money besides to be able to give and invest? What would that feel like? And so you get your emotions into it that way. See, we knew we couldn't afford always to be led by how we felt, so we turned the feelings off altogether. And what we need to do is direct the feelings in the right direction and begin to feel in line with what God has said. I've been in turmoil, I've been depressed. What would peace feel like? Because Jesus said, here, I'm giving you my peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. So what would that feel like? What would it be like to experience that? Good. And God is good. So we put our emotions around that too. A lot of you probably have say this to yourself on a regular basis, as I do. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Amen. Now, that either is something we rattle off quick and go on with our day, or it is something that we're actually getting on the inside of us and experiencing. It takes a little more focus. It takes a little more time to get this kind of thing out of the mental realm and down into a heart. But it's worth it. Because you know what? We don't want to get together in January of 2018 and be in the same place that we were as we started this year. And have this year be the same as it was the last year. It's not, somebody said, I have 25 years experience. If that experience is just the same thing over and over for 25 years, is different than progressing and making progress. We can't control a lot of the stuff out here, but we can control the stuff that's going on in here. And a lot of that is based upon self-talk. So here were some of the suggestions in the book I was reading said to do this. Begin to monitor your self-talk. Is it personal, positive, and present tense? And you are responsible for your self-talk. So you're going to have to monitor it. You know what you really don't like? When somebody else monitors it for you. Huh. And wives are good at that, I found out. Sometimes it's necessary. But really, if you know, we should be focused on our own. When we learned about confession, years back, it seemed like some people took on the ministry of confession changers. And so they went around and tell everybody, you shouldn't say that, you should say this. Most of the time, those people didn't work on their own at all. They just felt they were called to work on everybody else's. doesn't help much as far as somebody else is concerned. It doesn't really help them an awful lot unless they really care enough about you and you have the kind of relationship, husband to wife or something like that, where you can receive it. But most of the time it just angers us. And then we're going to come back to, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about your self-talk? I mean, honestly, you know, I've been at this for a long time, and I know some of you are going to go out here and just, well, that was nice, and not think about it again, but you don't want to be in the same place at the beginning of next year. You don't want to be, by summer, have everything, not going to get better, but getting worse. We want to be making progress. There's something about making progress. There's something about momentum to know that you're moving forward. And it's not so much about who's president or who's not president or any of these exterior things. It's about what's going on in here. And what's going on in here is a lot dependent upon self-talk. Every time you catch yourself talking negatively, interrupt the thought and replace it with new self-talk. Somebody asked Kenneth Copeland years ago, how often should you do that? Every time you have a negative emotion, negative thought going in the wrong direction, you change it. You don't just stop thinking that. You start. It's not just putting off, it's putting on. And then in the process that the Holy Spirit's working with us by the Word of God and renewing the spirit of our mind. So we don't just think a different thought, but we think a different way. It's what we're trying to do. Start every day with healthy self-talk. This is touchy because you don't want to make it a works thing. You don't want to make it a flesh thing. But you got to start someplace if you haven't been. Amen? It may be just a mental thing to start with, but at least you're starting. And then you're going to change and work on this becoming a heart thing. And find scriptural promises that support your new self-talk. See, this is like Bill was saying to me the other day, the evidence. What are you doing when you find in scripture evidence? So you need to be healed and you got 1 Peter 2:24. Well, good. What else you got? More evidence. You know, because somebody will come along and say, well, you know, that doesn't really talk about, that's not talking about physical healing, it's talking about spiritual healing. It's not, but somebody will say that. And so you develop more evidence. Evidence, total proof. It's done. Amen? Now, so the part about the word is important because it has backing to it. It's not just, I heard somebody say, we might say, a famous person says, but when it's God's word, now we're talking about something, especially if you have that kind of confidence in God's word. You know, years ago, I think Bill and Wendy and Diane and I were all in Florida for a conference, and we were all in the same motel, obviously, and we got up in the morning, we're sitting at their little restaurant there and having breakfast. And at that time, we went down there because Dr. Lemon was down there, as I remember. And so he was in the motel. And some of you remember Bryn Jones? Bryn Jones was there, and Bryn Jones had been teaching us about the importance of kingdom, and what a man of God. Wow. We lost him too soon. Wish he would have hung around a little bit longer. But he was in the motel, and they were over at a different table having breakfast. I remember we weren't that far from Tampa, and he was in during the time of spring training for the Yankees, and Phil Rizzuto came up behind me and tapped me on the shoulder because I was wearing a Yankees shirt and said something about, you should be over there in Tampa, you know, practicing. And I couldn't even talk. Scooter, Phil Rizzuto. I think I said something like, come visit us sometime. Like, you know, he's going to do that. Open mouth, insert foot. Anyway, I got up and we went over by Dr. Lemon's table, and he's sitting there with Bryn. And Dr. Lemon had been teaching us about the importance of spiritual fathers. Paul said, we have lots of teachers. You don't have many fathers. And I think that there's a, you know, like you need a natural father, it makes a big difference in your life. A spiritual father makes a big difference in your life. Somebody to be a mentor, to help steer you in the right direction. And we were trying to do that with Doc. We recognized Dr. Lemon was supposed to be our spiritual father, and we went and talked to him about it, and he was willing to do that. So, you know, you're hoping that you're doing a good job with, because you can't really have a father unless you're willing to be a son. So you have to put yourself in that position. So we walked by his table, and Bryn was sitting there, and he looked at me to see who it was, then he looked over at Doc and said, true son. So that stuck with me, because those words were important. That's what I was after, and still am after. Lots of people have had a relationship with Dr. Lemon, but, you know, over time, period of time, it just kind of dwindled away. But we haven't done that. I mean, not only Diane and I, but us, we haven't done it. We have a relationship with this man, and he speaks into this church, and the words that he's spoken already are still resounding with us. I was just, by the way, talking with him on Thursday, I think it was, and he said he'll be speaking tonight at Mark Barkley's church, Brother Barkley's church. Praise God, he's making progress. Making progress. So, you know, when you recognize how important the Word is, important the Word of God is, then it's not just about memorizing a verse. It's about, this is what God said, and I believe God not only tells the truth, but is truth. So I'm going to build that up. So your list that you should have. Self-talk. Let me hurry through this because I went too long already here. See, first of all, I am a child of God. Hopefully you're not going to say I'm going to be a child of God. If you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you're not yet. But when you have, you can say from that time on, I'm a child of God. Amen. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. I am forgiven. Not I'm going to be forgiven. If you're a child of God, you're forgiven. In fact, even if you're not a child of God, you're forgiven, but you're not getting any benefits out of it until you're a child of God. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgave. It's done, so therefore you are forgiven. I am accepted. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. If you're trying to be accepted, you're not recognizing that you are. You need to say are. You are. And when I am accepted, that means I'm qualified, which is the next one, for all the promises of God. Qualified for promises. Ephesians 1:12. Excuse me, Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. I am healed. 1 Peter 2:24. The end of the verse says, by whose stripes you were. If you were, then I am. Praise God. I am delivered. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I am righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Doesn't get any better righteous than that. I am. I'm more than a conqueror. Nothing can separate me from God's love. Romans 8:37-39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God. You know, sometimes I say, and even I can't separate myself from his love. He loves me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13, the Amplified, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God.